Well, it's mid-June, and it's time for vacations, I think, for a lot of people. We usually think about that in the summertime. And my name is Linda, and I'd like to welcome you all to Advanced Studio Classroom. And I have two fine gentlemen with me in the studio today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brandon. Great to be here, and I'm excited to talk about travel because maybe I want to go to some of these places. I think I at least want to go to Europe. So we're talking about London on day two, so that's the one I'm really focusing in on. And it is summertime, so it's time to make those travel plans.
That's right.
And I'm Simon. It's a pleasure to be back, especially talking about something other than business articles, because I'm usually here for business articles.
Because you're a business guru.
Well, thank you, Brandon. I did notice, though, that this article is kind of about money again, even though it's about travel.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a special... Well, we're going to be talking about five different places, I think, in the next 2 days. Did you pick one out in particular that you would like to visit, Simon?
No. They all sound good to me. Yeah. For a veteran traveler like myself, there is nothing new or exciting in the world.
How old are you?
Well, I'm a veteran traveler. I'm not a veteran.
Okay.
Well, we hope that this article will be as interesting for you as it was for us as we read about it and prepared to discuss on page 30 of your magazine. So if you have it with you, you might want to open it, and you can read along with us as we do the reading, or maybe find it on your digital device and follow along with us. We're going to start reading on page 30 in the left-hand column.
The best time to visit these pricey destinations. Avoid hefty price tags and visit some of the most desirable travel locations. If you're going to shell out on a vacation, then you might as well do it right. With that in mind, we've asked a few experts for tips on when to visit some of the most expensive places across the globe. Here's what they had to say. New York City. According to recent research, New York is the second most expensive holiday destination overall and the most expensive place to dine out, with an average meal for two costing around $67. To find out how to make the most of a trip, we checked in with Kit Garrett, the CEO of Discover New York, which creates custom itineraries for travelers. First, settle on a budget and must-do activities, Garrett suggests. From there, pick the right season. October and June have gorgeous weather, so outdoor activities are a good choice, with sailing, in-depth neighborhood walks, and biking, Garrett says. For great value, she advises traveling in January and February, when the city offers tons of indoor activities, from art galleries and Broadway shows to indoor sports events and thousands of dining options. For guests that prefer warm weather and don't mind the humidity, July and August are value months, Garrett adds. Hotel pick, the Greenwich Hotel.
Well, we can tell from the title that we're going to be talking about pricey destinations. And if you see this kind of term, what does it mean?
You will need to spend a lot of money. So make sure your wallet is full of the dollar bills when you go.
Our credit cards.
Yeah.
So if something is pricey, it means it's expensive. So
yeah.
We're talking about kind of expensive destinations. And actually, a lot of people would like to go to New York, New York City on vacation. Have either one of you been there?
I have.
I have been there as well, twice,
I
think. Yeah.
I have also been there, so we can talk about some things to do, some of the things that we did when we were there, but let's see what our advice is here. First, it says you can avoid hefty prices or hefty price tags and visit some of the most desirable travel locations. This is kind of an interesting term, a hefty price tag. If it's something is hefty and we're talking about money, it doesn't mean the money is heavy. What does it mean?
Well, when something is heavy, we can say it's hefty, like you said. I guess the idea is that the price is like a burden that you have to carry.
Yes.
And it's a heavy burden to carry. The idea just being it's big or
high.
It's
a high price.
The price.
High price destinations or high price tags, okay?
It's interesting, though, because we also say that prices can be weighty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Like weight, the
right.
weight, how much it weighs, yeah.
Which means hefty.
Yeah, same thing.
In that instance.
And you want to avoid that when all, if all possible.
You can tell we're all poor, right? Well, this is about high-end travel, basically. So it says here that if you're going to shell out on a vacation, then you might as well do it right. And this is kind of an interesting way of phrasing this.
You're going to spend a lot of money on it. For example, maybe I want to shell out some money for a new phone. Maybe I will say, I don't want to shell out that much money for that new iPhone or whatever. Here they're saying you're going to spend a lot of money for the vacation, so you might as well do it right, which makes sense.
Which means you're going to spend a lot more money.
I think the shell here, too, is like seashells, because sometimes people call money clams. As in, like, it cost me 5 clams instead of $5. And so when you're shelling out clams, you're spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or maybe just passing around a bunch of seafood.
Okay, well, we see that if you're going to be shelling out a lot of money, then you probably need some expert advice. And so this article has talked to some experts in different parts of the world on tips about what to do when you go to these very expensive places. And here we are. First destination is New York City. Simon?
Well, I was just going to say, in the first paragraph, and actually in the title, you can sort of pick up on the attitude that the article is going to take. So the first thing is they're talking about the best time to visit pricey destinations. And so that kind of represents this idea that sometimes there are peak seasons or hot travel times, which are very expensive, but there are also cheaper times you can go if you plan well. The other thing is they say if you're going to shell out on vacation, so if you're going to spend a lot of money, then you might as well do it right. So you might as well really spend a lot of money and get a lot of value. Have a great trip if you're going to spend the money.
Right.
And
you
make
think
the most of it.
The biggest bang for your buck, right? When can you go? You go at a time when it's not as expensive and you can maybe have a little bit more money to spend during that time because things aren't as expensive and so forth. So it's good to know the timing.
Would you say that phrase again?
Yeah. Get the biggest bang for your buck.
Okay. And a buck is a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the idea here is not that they're giving you tips on the best way to get a cheap vacation. They're giving you tips on the best way to get a really expensive vacation for a little less money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we see here that for New York City, there's been research, and it is the second most expensive holiday destination overall. So that when it says overall, it means like for food, for
Hotels, accommodations,
yeah. Travel, anything. It's the second most expensive holiday destination. And the most expensive place to dine out. Now, I guess I have a hard time believing that an average meal for two costs around $67 U.S.
McDonald's hamburgers.
McDonald's.
I guess when you're going to be staying at a kind of, in a kind of a high-end area, which is where our hotel is, then you're not going to probably be eating at McDonald's.
Right, and this would affect me a lot because I love to eat, so I really need to bring a lot of money, I guess, for that.
Well, you think about, you know, New York hot dogs are very famous, I don't think, but I know they're talking about a nice...
Fine dining.
Yeah. I don't even, you know, that's pretty cheap if we're talking about fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, food now in the United States, if you eat out, is quite expensive.
I think they're just talking about an average, because if you have two people eating at a McDonald's, it's going to be $20. In the U.S., right?
What do you eat?
You get the meal, and you supersize it. And you get the little chicken McNuggets on the side or whatever. $20, no problem. So if you're also including, you're averaging that with fine dining, I think the $67 is pretty believable.
Mm-hmm. I don't think $67 is for fine dining. I think fine dining, and what do we mean by fine dining?
Well, fine dining is like an expensive restaurant, but the $67 is an average. Mm-hmm.
Right, and also $67 is pretty cheap for fine dining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's in the middle. between the $20 yes, for McDonald's
the and the $200.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we see that we've gotten some advice from Kit Garrett, and he's the CEO of Discover New York. And they, this organization actually creates custom itineraries for travelers. So if you do a custom itinerary, what are you doing?
Well, if I call him, then he will probably ask me a lot of questions about what I want to do, and then we'll make a schedule itinerary for the things that I want to do, not just maybe a general itinerary that a lot of people want to do. No, what do I want? And he will follow that.
Right. So it's quite different than just going with your general overall travel tour to like New York, because then you are bound to what that tour guide is.
Right. Maybe a lot of people want to see Broadway shows, but I don't. So he will not put that on my itinerary.
Yeah. You can get this service here as well. It's
in Asia.
Yeah, a more and more popular alternative to joining a tour group.
Mm.
It does cost more money, but you get sort of that security of being on a tour. Like they give you a guide who might also be your driver. So you sort of have a car with a driver and a guide. And so you don't have to worry about getting lost or not knowing where to mm-hmm. find things or things like that. It just does cost a little more, and you're really paying for the customization or the mm-hmm. personalization of it.
Yeah, we actually did something like that when we went to Flores Island in Indonesia, because we couldn't do the typical tour. We didn't have quite enough time for all those days, so they just arranged a driver and a translator for us and a car. So it's quite helpful, actually. Mm-hmm. You can tell them what you want to do, and they'll arrange
it. You and your husband and your 7 staff following you around in a van.
Yeah, there was only two of them, 2 of us. Okay, so we see that the first thing they suggest you do is to settle on a budget and must-do activities. If you settle on something, we've agreed to something.
Right, or you've decided to do something. What is your budget going to be? Well, it probably wouldn't take me too long to decide that, because I don't have a lot of extra money to spend, so maybe New York would be a little tough. Actually, when I went to New York, I noticed that. I feel like if you're really going to do New York right, if you're going to have a good time there, you probably do need to have quite a bit of money, because the shows and stuff you want to go to, you're going to have a lot more fun if you're able to spend quite a bit of money.
I think it depends on the parts of New York you happen to be in. I have visited New York as a traveler, but also visited it for work.
Mm.
And when I visited for work, I mean, you don't visit downtown Manhattan. You're not seeing the museums or any of that kind of stuff. You're eating at hot dog carts and
yeah,
bringing a jar of peanut butter and crackers in your suitcase, stuff like that. Because
well, not everybody's.
You know, because you spend all your time, like, working at
right.
the place, right, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
I won't ask what kind of job that was.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
So you have to, well, it says, first of all, they suggest that you settle on a budget, how much money you can spend, and must do activities. So when you think of New York, what do you think that you have to do when you're there? And then it is important to pick the right season. And this also comes back to our title, The Best Time to Visit. So they're giving several suggestions here. If you go in October and June, what are they suggesting?
You're going to have gorgeous weather. However, I want to tell you, I went, I think, in June or July, and I still needed a jacket sometimes at night, which surprised me. I'm from the southern U.S. You do not need a jacket anytime during the summer. So be aware of that. But you will have gorgeous weather during October and also in June.
And so they suggest outdoor activities like sailing, in-depth neighborhood walks, and biking. So, I don't know. I'll just say it again. I don't know why you would pay a lot of money to go to New York City to go biking or sailing.
It's because you're not rich, Linda. That's why you don't know. If you were rich, you would understand.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Brandon, you said you actually went biking in Central Park.
Yeah, I did. Before the program, I was talking about that. When I was in Central Park, I just biked around it. That was kind of nice. And it was good to see all the greenery, the trees, because, you know, it's a big city. So, and I'm from the country, so it was good to, you know, see those trees again. It was a lot of fun. And it is a famous place, Central Park, and there are many movies that have been made there, Home Alone and others. So that's a good place to go to.
So if you do like outdoor activities, I think they're suggesting that there are things you can do outside in New York City. And this in-depth neighborhood walks, why would they recommend that?
That's actually my preferred way of traveling around new cities. You know, when you walk around different neighborhoods, you discover all kinds of things. And so in-depth here really just means in a lot of detail or very close or very thorough. So you're walking through the neighborhood, looking at the different shops, stopping in the park and exploring.
And they probably have a guide, I guess, of some sort. It maybe gives you some historical information. I don't know. But I believe there are 5 boroughs in New York, and so there is lots of history there that you can, you know, discover, and lots of buildings and so forth that you can take a look at when you do these in-depth neighborhood walks.
Right. Well, I know there's a huge, huge Chinatown. Mm-hmm. It's right next to Little Italy.
I've been to Chinatown. It was funny because I felt like, wow, I feel like, you know, I'm in Asia. It was so legit.
Yeah. It's the most famous Chinatown in the United States, I think.
I'm sure.
And there are other ones, too. You just walk into these neighborhoods, and you feel like you're, you know, surrounded by that kind of country feel.
Mm-hmm. There's Little Italy as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. And also, he says that for great value, she advises traveling in January and February when the city offers a lot of indoor activities, basically because it's freezing cold.
Yeah, this is actually the stuff I usually think of when I think of New York. I mean, you know, if you watch TV and that's your biggest way of being exposed to New York, you usually think of museums and art galleries and shopping and, you know, expensive restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of these things that they're listing here.
I also think for people that want to go to New York, you know, some other really common places to go are Times Square, mm-hmm. and the Metropolitan Museum, very, very famous.
The Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, Brooklyn Bridge, Staten Island Ferry.
Yeah, Statue of Liberty.
Right, to see mm-hmm. the Statue of Liberty. So if you prefer warm weather and it's very humid in New York in the summertime, then July and August also are value months, which means that you don't have to pay quite as much. And the hotel pick here, they say, is Greenwich Hotel, the Greenwich Hotel. And that, I did look up the price, and it starts like at 18,000 NT and up, and it got very, very good reviews. I guess I would say for that price, it probably should get good reviews. And it's centrally located in kind of a hip area of New York City. Okay, well, the next place that we're going to visit is Sydney, Australia. We're changing continents here. So follow along with us as we read to the end of this page.
Sydney, with its incredible surfing beaches like Bondi and Coogee, an eclectic dining scene and friendly locals, Sydney is a perennial favorite of travelers. It's also expensive. As for the best time to go, the shoulder seasons, fall and spring in the U.S., have the most comfortable weather and fewer crowds than the December to February high season. But some months have particular appeal, according to Stuart Rigg, Australian travel specialist for Southern Crossings. April, for example, falls into the low season, which means you'll find hotel deals along with weather that's typically very pleasant. Rigg says, Sydney also has some great events during this low season period, he adds. Hotel pick, Shangri-La Hotel Sydney.
All right, so at the beginning of this reading, we have a couple of names that we all pronounce in different ways. The first two are beaches, and I say Bondi Beach.
That's right. How I've heard it,
yeah.
Or Bondi.
And there are many different ways that people pronounce city names, and if you're not from a particular place, you may pronounce it a little differently.
And you're probably pronouncing it incorrectly, but that's okay. when you hear someone who knows and they tell you how to pronounce it, you just change the way you pronounce it, right? So how would you pronounce that second beach, C-O-O-G-E-E?
I would say Coogee.
I would have said Coogee, too.
I would also. But, you know, my advice is go to Australia and hear how they say it. Then you'll know.
Yeah.
Good idea. So they have these famous surfing beaches in Sydney, and they also have an eclectic dining scene.
Right. If something is eclectic, it's involving many different ideas, beliefs, and they're combining all of that. And that's always kind of fun to me, especially when it comes to food, because you have more variety.
Right. So we're not looking at a specific cuisine in Sydney. I think it's kind of, you know, we think of New York City as the melting pot, and I think Sydney has a lot of different immigrants from around the world, so there's a lot of choice of where to eat. And it says that the people there that live there are also friendly, and Sydney is a perennial favorite of travelers. If something, I usually think of this word perennial when I think of flowers. So, but here we're looking at perennial favorite of travelers. And what does that mean?
Well, it's basically the same thing as perennial flowers. Mm-hmm. Perennial flowers are flowers that bloom again every year. And in the same way, a perennial favorite means every year, every time you have a survey, this place scores very well. It's always popular. That popularity lasts a long time.
Right. And the next sentence I know is true. I haven't been to Sydney, but the next sentence I know is true. It's also expensive. I know a couple of people that live there. And downtown Sydney, in particular, parking and all the activities down there are quite expensive. But for the best time to go, this is another interesting term for us, the shoulder seasons.
Right, shoulder seasons, meaning between the peak and off-peak seasons. And here we also see this is during the fall and spring in the U.S.
Right, so the fall in the U.S. is like September to November. And the spring, well, the spring is supposed to be March, but there's still a lot of snow in the northern part, March through June, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the shoulder seasons between what we consider the typical travel seasons in the United States.
Peak is such a confusing way to explain shoulders, though. You know, like when we say peak, maybe an easier term is to say the high season and the low season, right? Because your head is high, and then on either side of your head are your shoulders. And then below that is the rest of your body. So why shoulders? Because they're on both sides of the head or the highest season. The high point, yeah.
Okay, and the two high points are, oh, that's a good way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. The two high point seasons are winter and for us in the United States, that's December to February. That is a high season because it is summer in Australia because we are talking about the southern hemisphere. When we talk about hemispheres, what are we talking about?
Well, the different parts of the Earth, the northern hemisphere, the upper part, and the southern hemisphere, the lower part.
That would be like Africa, South America, Australia are in the southern hemispheres. So the seasons are opposite.
Mm-hmm. So wait, let's clarify this. In the U.S., the summer is the high season because the weather's great.
Yeah.
In Australia, the winter is the high season.
Right.
So in the U.S., the low season is the winter, but in Australia, the high season is the winter, right?
Right, but it is summertime at that point in Australia, but it's winter in the U.S.
Yeah.
During
so,
that time.
That is the
So the
season.
Shoulder season in both places is the spring and the fall.
Right.
Spring months and the fall months.
And that's even though they're opposite, right, they're opposite to the northern hemisphere, but there's still the shoulder seasons on each side, right?
So we want to cling to this idea, go during the spring or the fall. It doesn't matter if you are actually in spring weather in the fall or not. What matters is that you bring a jacket and you have a great time.
Okay, so here he says, okay, now we're looking at another person, a travel specialist for Southern Crossing, Stuart Rigg, and he kind of recommends April because it falls into the low season, which means you'll find hotel deals along with weather that's typically very pleasant.
And low season meaning the least popular season. There aren't as many people that will be there on vacation, so forth.
Right. And this past summer in Australia, this is June now, so like in January and February of this year, the temperatures in Sydney got around 40 degrees or 50 degrees up above 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Sorry, Celsius. So we're talking quite warm in their summer. And it also says that Sydney also has some great events during this low season period. So in April, some of the things they have that are going on in Sydney are the Championship Horse Races of Australia and the Royal Easter Show. And they have special museum exhibits, and their opera house is putting on a special opera. So there are lots of things to do during this low season.
Right. Even though it's the low season, you still have things you can enjoy. So that's nice. You're not going to be bored once you arrive.
Right. And so that's what it means, that if you go during the low season, there's something to do for everybody. And their pick of the hotel is the Shangri-La Hotel Sydney. And I also looked that up in April. It's 7,000 NT a night.
Well, that's not so bad.
And up. I thought that was much better than the Greenwich.
Sign me up.
Let's go.
That's in April now. In January, in the high season, it's quite a bit higher.
Mm.
And, of course, these hotels that they are picking here are in premier locations. Mm-hmm. So very, very convenient for travelers.
I like Shangri-La hotels, too. I mean, they're a chain, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've never been to the Sydney one, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Time to go, Simon.
You basically don't need to leave the hotel if you pick the right hotel. Even if it's the wrong season, you can just...
stay in the hotel.
Well, that doesn't matter. You don't need to pay for the flight. Just find one that's cheaper and go to the hotel.
Just remember to bring your jar of peanut butter in your suitcase so you can save more money.
Okay, well, we hope that you all will join us again tomorrow. We're going to go to three different locations. And think about, would you like to go to New York or would you like to go to Sydney? And maybe you can write and let us know. So we hope to see you again tomorrow. Bye for now.
Goodbye. Bye.